Got you.
Cheating. We're the only two for right now, I think.
Yeah. I have 10:32, so he should be coming on pretty quickly.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
We're
I'm
doing
fine.
good. I guess one of us ought to call him.
You what?
I said one of us
Okay.
probably ought to call him.
Do you want me to that I call him or are you going to call him?
Well, you want to try?
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakor. Anna Bakor. Alfet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Tabel Rinat Amkas Agvenu Tahare Beshayan Sin Yud dog you bore.
He bore your
chain. We're going to use the sequence Yud Kaf Shin to return our body parts that need healing back to their stem cell state, where they can be healed, where they can be rejuvenated, where they can be restored. And then we're going to return them back to our body in that pristine state where they will begin to do their job once again, having been healed, having been restored, having been rejuvenated. Bachem tacharem, tachamei sikachem, tachamei Chasin kadosh, the letters of the month, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the Virgo, the Virgin. Shavatenu Kabel,
Kabel, Hushman,
and we're adding the verse that connects to the year 5774. The Psalm Timako, the Israel. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant that they may dwell in a place of their own and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as at the first. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Parsha Ki Tetzeh, from section 10. Fish and locusts do not require slaughtering. Verse 59. Vayino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseya deinu kunanei aleinu maaseya deinu kunaneihu. Vezina titaninim mare mishna it bechon machalokat ובקשים דלדה בלה והברי והייבו תלמיד זער שלו הגיע להוראה ומורה חייו מיתה ואינון שווין דלדה ויתפחון מחלוקת וקושיה יצמר בחום לסוף בעת בהב בסופה ואוף מוחה Ahava b'sofa. When the crocodiles, the Mishnah sages, have a disagreement among them and ask each other difficult questions, one then swallows his colleague like the fish of the sea, where the bigger swallows the smaller. This concerns a younger student who has not reached the position of teaching, yet teaches, which is punishable by death. But if they are on equal footing, both being large, and have a disagreement and difficult question, it says of them at the end, Behevid Supa, which has been explained to mean love at its end, since Behev means love, coming from the word Ahava, and Supa is Aramaic for end. And this verse is talking about how you decide between two rabbis who have different opinions as to what is the halakha, what is the correct thing to do in a given situation. The mistake that people make is that they will ask a rabbi a question, and that rabbi who is listening to his intuition, who has learned how to and when and to know when his intuition is working properly, he gives them an answer. And they then tell their friends, this is what the rabbi said to do in this situation. And then the friends start to use that ruling as if it applies to them. And then you get to another rabbi who gets a similar question but a different situation, who answers it a different way. And the two answers are in conflict. And then these two rabbis start to argue. And the Zohar is bringing the situation where these two rabbis are very well known, meaning large. These two rabbis are very connected to the Creator, meaning large. And so they have a machlokes, a search for truth. And the answer to that situation is a very wonderful statement, which is translated, this and this are the words of the living God, which the sages have taught us means that since we are searching for truth, and so both statements apply to a given situation, a given set of circumstances, they're both correct. But the Zohar is also saying that sometimes people who are not well connected, because Kabbalah comes from a frame of secrets, and people cannot know whether that person that's teaching them is truly connected, is listening to his intuition, is giving them advice that's not based on his ego, but what's best for them and their situation. And since they cannot know, sometimes, based on their lack of merit and his mistake, he's teaching, but he has no permission to teach. And he doesn't divulge that fact to his students. And that's where the true source, the true lineage of the teachers of Kabbalah become important. And that is the criticism that has been leveled at Rabbi Ashlag, that we don't know who his teacher of Kabbalah is. We know a story about his teacher. He met his teacher at a party, whether it was a wedding or a bris, he met his teacher. The way he met his teacher is he'd been wanting to study Kabbalah. He'd been praying that he would find a teacher. And this man walked up to him and started dancing around him, singing a song, a ditty. I know Kabbalah, I know Kabbalah, I know Kabbalah. Rabbi Ashlag met his teacher in this way. But his teacher asked that he never divulge the name of his teacher. We know certain facts about his teacher when he died. We know other facts about his teacher, that he was a businessman who lived in Jerusalem. We know the year of his death, so we know the year that he started teaching Rabbi Ashlag. So it is possible to find out who is his teacher, but he specifically requested not to be found out. And Rabbi Ashlag's students have chosen not to search for this answer. And when criticism is leveled at this teacher, Rabbi Ashlag, who is my teacher among a number of others, a lineage of teachers, and other paths of Kabbalah, which I have chosen to learn from, whenever that criticism is leveled, the answer is, you're absolutely right. We don't know who his teacher is. And the teachings can be suspect because of that. You make your own choice. Is your teacher, can your teacher give the lineage back to Moses? Then your Kabbalah has no lack. If you can't give the lineage back to Moses, and on those levels, those teachings from our Rabbi Ashlag, we cannot give the lineage back to Moses. You have to trust your own intuition. Is this a kosher teacher? Am I a kosher teacher for you? Were my teachers kosher teachers for me? I answered that question through my own intuition. I answered it for me. You will have to answer it for yourselves. Are there any questions? Tonight's class is on the Revealed Wisdom page, the Advanced Reincarnation series. And I believe we are starting at Chapter 7, Section 3. Is that correct, or does somebody else have a different information? Because I wasn't sure, certain if we started on Section 3, or we finish Section 3 and we're starting at Section 4.
I didn't look this time. I just printed the one that you had, Advanced Reincarnation, okay. Class 21. So,
assume it's correct.
Okay.
It starts at Chapter 7, Section 3, So we will start. I'm reading from that location.
Okay, I do have...
Go ahead, Sasha.
Let's see, I do have my stack of the Reincarnation series, so...
If you have it, can do it in a short time, you can look, and I'll hold off. But if it's going to be a while, then I'll just start reading.
I have the handout. It's just let's see.
I know.
I have notes up to marked up to chapter 7-4, but I don't have.
Right. So
stopped here. Yeah, I have stopped here for class 22 on 8:13, and we would begin at chapter 7, section 4. That would be where we'd start. So you could go back to 1 if you wanted.
No. We're going to start at chapter 7, section 4, as the notes indicate, because I wasn't certain. Usually I remember, but I was involved with the move this week. And I had
company till 10 o'clock, so that's why I didn't get to look at what was going on before.
Understood. So let us start. Chapter 7, section 4, challenge to the second level souls. Another advantage of level 1 over level 2 is the facility by which the highest levels of soul can be rectified. Whereas level 2 souls can rectify the highest levels only with difficulty and effort. Even though they can achieve the highest levels, remember what the difference is between what we're calling level 1 and our level 2 souls. Level 1 can connect correct all the way from Nefesh of Asiyah all the way up to Chaya of Atzilut. Level 2 souls can only correct up to Malchut of Atzilut. And this first paragraph, so I'm bringing the memory so that you can make the connections. This first paragraph is saying that that when a level 2 soul connects at the higher levels, at the world of Bria and the world of Atzilut, when they're correcting at that level, it takes effort, and it's with great difficulty. What does that mean is not explained by the commentary, and I'm not going to take the time to go into it. But I think it's easier to understand it with the metaphor of the soulmate. When Cain and Abel were born, they were born with twin sisters who were their soulmate. As they developed into maturity, their soulmate was right there. Who they were going to marry was well known. She was growing up with them. She was learning with them. Chava was teaching her to have a home and to do what women do. And Adam was teaching them what men needed to learn. Finding that soulmate wasn't a search. They knew who it was from the moment they were born, the moment they became conscious. Then as we went through the generations, Abraham's soulmate, Sarah, was his cousin or his sister. I forget whether it was the same father with different mothers, which is, I believe, the case, or the alternative. But Abraham and Sarah were relatively easy to find each other. Who was Judas, the son of Jacob? Who was his soulmate 4 generations later? He didn't know who his soulmate was. His soulmate was married to his son, his eldest son, Er, who died, and then his second son, Onan, who died, and he withheld his third son. And so she resorted to trickery to be able to bring a child from their soulmate relationship. How do you go from I know who my soulmate is, and it's easy for me to locate her, to what Judah had to go through? And then as each generation has fallen further from Adam and Eve, as each generation falls further spiritually, Finding the soulmate is a very difficult process. That's what it's talking about when it says difficulty and effort to rectify the higher levels. There is another advantage of a new soul, which has been called level one. When it comes into the world for the first time, it can easily attain within that same body the nefesh of asiyah until the neshama of the neshama, as we have mentioned. Neshama of the neshama is different nomenclature for the level of chaya. The nefesh will become the dwelling place and throne of the ruach, and the ruach will become the dwelling place and the throne to the neshama. And the neshama will become the dwelling place and the throne of the chaya. I've expanded the reading so that you would understand it in exactly. The main point here is that new souls can easily achieve all the highest levels. Furthermore, as new levels are attained, each previous level becomes the dwelling place or the throne of the next place. This is none other than the concept of hitlabshut, or enclosing, which was explained in a special note at the end of chapter 2. And I will remind you of what hitlabshut actually is discussing. It's presented as a metaphor, but it's a very real aspect. We have a soul, whatever level of soul we are talking about. What does that soul wear? What encloses it? How is it concealed? It's concealed with a body. It's wearing a body. This is the term hitlabshut in Hebrew. This is also the level of the throne, the kise. This is a Kabbalistic term talking about the concept of God sitting on his throne, which will take place on Rosh Hashanah. That's the way the metaphor is presented. God is sitting on his throne of judgment. What is a throne? It's a concealment. It loves shoots. The soul is concealed by the body. We get dressed every morning. Why? Because we have to conceal the body, so that at some point in our lives, we will reveal the body. The body will, at some point in its process, reveal the soul. Each of these levels, enclosements, are metaphors, but they're also real presentation. It's easier for us to perceive them as a metaphor than to try and understand the spiritual concept of what that metaphor represents. But that spiritual concept is also true. I'm continuing to read. However, this is not the case for the souls of level two, which are the sparks that were included in Cain and Abel. Although they can achieve as high as the nefesh of Atzilut in one lifetime, it will not be with the ease of level one. This is what we spoke about regarding the secret of Yibum at night, and the verse, my nefesh has desired you at night. Even with my ruach that is within me will I seek for you. In chapter 3, section 8, we learn that a person who completes his nefesh cannot normally receive his ruach in the same lifetime. If his ruach has already been blemished in a previous gilgul, he will have to die and reincarnate, unless the need is great. By meditating upon the verse, my nefesh has desired you at night. Even with my ruach that is within me will I seek for you. When he goes to sleep at night, he can cause his ruach to descend in place of his nefesh. This will allow him to rectify the ruach in the same lifetime that the tikkun of the nefesh was completed. After a nefesh has become completely rectified, it leaves a person at night while he sleeps. This difficulty and effort means that you completed a tikkun of a level of soul. When you go to sleep, that level of soul elevates back into the appropriate level of heaven. And in the morning, when it would normally come down, it doesn't. And the ruach has to find a new nefesh, a nefesh of a ger, of a stranger, or a convert, depending on the consciousness. And that ruach has to go through 20 years of being a child, growing from birth to adulthood, and all of the effort and length of time that's involved in that process, and bringing the baggage of one lifetime into the other lifetime. This is what is meant by effort. What does it mean when, unless the need is great? We're running out of time to bring Mashiach. There's only 200 and some years left. Maybe we will bring it today. But more than likely, chas v'shalom, it will be longer than today. It might be tomorrow. And that effort makes the need great. And so the Ari was given permission to reveal to us this meditative technique to shorten the process. But still, there's an effort involved. You have to have earned the merit to have learned this. Not everybody has taught this. And those people have to go through a longer process. This is what is being explained in this section. One of the points that the Rav will add here is that the Ruach will descend in the morning in place of the Nefesh, while it is clothed within the nefesh of the convert. It cannot descend into a body without being enclosed, ensconced within a nefesh, and its own nefesh has remained above in the supernal world, in the supernal well. Therefore, as we shall see, it clothes itself in the nefesh of the convert. In addition, the Rav has added here a new nomenclature for this phenomena. He calls it the secret of Yibum at night. And has mentioned it here, since it is possible through meditation at night upon the verse mentioned above to attain all three levels of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama in one Gilgul. After a Nefesh has become completely rectified, it leaves a person at night while he sleeps, and the nefesh of a convert enters him in its place in the morning, together with the ruach of the man himself. It is at this point, I really should have put a commentary here, but I didn't, and I apologize. I should have put the commentary here for to help you understand other teachings that I have given you, because it's based on this concept. What are those other teachings? I've said to you that when enough of your soul completes its correction, that the nefesh that of the gers, the different parts of your body, because you have 613 parts of your body, which means you have 613 parts of your soul. And each of those parts have these five levels. And so when enough of your nefesh level, enough of your ruach level, enough of your neshama level has finished and completed its correction, it's not the same person. So that when I was born and given the name Hanoch, maybe I need another name because I'm no longer that Hanoch. I taught you about this. This is the source. This idea of the ger. And the Ari is calling it something different. He's calling it the Yibum at night. What is Yibum? When a man dies childless, his soul cannot come through in a normal incarnation. So his brother marries his widow and attempts to conceive a child. And that child is the soul who died, soul of the man who died. This is the idea of a yibum. But this is not the same idea because it's called a yibum at night. The soul returns, the ruach returns, enclosed in a nefesh of a ger. That's the meaning of yibum at night. The ruach will be clothed within this nefesh until it is completely rectified. At that point, the first nefesh will return to the body, and they remain together, the nefesh, the original nefesh, and the ruach who has completed itself will return to the body and remain together. The nefesh will be the throne for its own ruach. But since the neshama has come and is going through the process of its correction, that actually doesn't happen until the neshama completes itself. If the person merits even more afterwards, then this nefesh and ruach will leave him at night, and in the morning his neshama will enter him and remain there until completely rectified. After that time, his nefesh and ruach will re-enter him, and the three levels will remain together. However, all of this is only with great effort and difficulty. And after focusing intently on that meditation, on that verse, this is the secret of the verse. If he would take notice of him, then he would gather into himself his ruach and neshama. If he will be wise, and if he knows the meditation, yibum at night, of which we spoke, if he will pay attention and focus his heart, then he will be able to gather unto himself in this body, his ruach and neshama, without the need for further gilgulim. It's a way of shortening the process. He doesn't have to go through 20 years of childhood in order to correct the ruach. And then he doesn't have to go through another 20 years of childhood in order to correct the neshama. He doesn't have to have three lifetimes. He can do it all in one, but only with the effort of that meditation. With the proper wisdom, understanding, and concentration, a person who might normally have required many different Gilgulim to rectify his nefesh, his ruach, and his neshama, can use the Yibum at night meditation as a way to complete all three during one incarnation. In addition, another advantage of level one souls over level two souls has been explained. Although level two souls can achieve very high levels, like level one souls, they can only do so with great effort and difficulty. When the need is great, and when they are proficient in the meditation called Yibum at night. My commentary is about this meditation. Do you know which verse in the nighttime Shema is the Yibum at night meditation? Most of you, I don't think, do, so I'm giving it to you. It's the verse from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. This verse is part of the nighttime Shema. You should find it in the nighttime Shema. Look for it. Most Siddurim have the nighttime Shema. They will specify the source of all the different verses in their notes. Look for this verse. It is necessary to do more than just read it to allow it to shorten your process.
I know.
Here is the verse. Yes, go ahead.
Can you repeat the chapter and the verse of the Isaiah?
It's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9.
Okay.
And the verse reads, you're welcome, the verse reads, Nafshi avitika balaila, afruhi bakirivi ashirka, kika asher mishifticha, la'arat tzedek lamdu yoshve tevel. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me have I sought thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If you truly study this verse, you can learn much about the Kabbalistic wisdom and the language of branches. I suggest you utilize these tools of Kabbalah to study this verse. The tools like the first and last letters, and the gematria plus the word and letter count, and the other techniques, the other tools that you have been taught, because this is part of the effort to make this meditation of Yibum at night be effective. The early death of Tzaddikim, Chapter 7, Section 5. People who do not know how to draw down Ruach and Neshama through the Yibum at night meditation, they need to die. And if they are Tzaddikim, who have rectified the Nefesh at an early age, then they will die young. And this applies to second level souls as well. This person must therefore die in order to rectify his ruach in a second body. A person may completely rectify his nefesh, but not know how to draw his ruach to him to rectify it, as has been previously explained, leaving his nefesh at night in the supernal well through meditation upon the verse, as we discussed. This person must therefore die in order to rectify his ruach in a second body. When it is rectified, then his nefesh will join him. If by this time he still does not know how to send his ruach away at night in order to draw his neshama, to rectify it according to the previously mentioned meditation, then he will have to die a second time, so that his neshama could enter a third body to become rectified. After rectification, his nefesh and ruach will re-enter to join his neshama, as discussed previously. Remarkably, this is why some completely righteous people die early in life. They have rectified their nefesh entirely after only a few years, but they do not know how to draw down their ruach by sending away their nefesh using the meditation we mentioned earlier. They die at an early age since there is no reason to delay their time in this world. We're not talking about children dying here. We're talking about people over 20 in their 30s. Maybe their 40s, but more than likely just 20s and 30s. There is no reason for them to remain in this world since they have completed the tikkun of their nefesh. If they would receive their ruach, then they could begin the tikkun of the ruach while still in the same lifetime. However, the spiritual law is they can't, since they do not know how to draw down their ruach and have no need for further rectification of the nefesh. There isn't any reason for them to remain in this world. They leave early so that their ruach may enter a second body to become rectified. The same is true for righteous people who merited their nefesh and ruach and rectified them and do not know how to send them away to draw down their neshama. This is the esoteric meaning of the verse, they die, but not with wisdom. Sometimes people die due to a lack of wisdom, not knowing how to draw down their ruach or their neshama. However, this only applies for someone who has rectified his nefesh, but whose ruach and neshama still remain blemished from the first time. What that's explaining is there was a one incarnation where the nefesh was corrected, the ruach came down and was corrected, the neshama came down and was partially corrected, and then the blemish took place, and it affected all three levels. That person died. Now, the nefesh comes down in one body and corrects the blemish on the nefesh only. And if it can knows the meditation of Yibum at night, in that same body it can correct the ruach and the neshama. If it doesn't know the meditation, it will have to die. It should be recalled that the Rav reverted to the discussion of the Yibum at night meditation by way of explaining the second advantage of the first level over the second level souls. Their ascent can go beyond Briah to the level of Nefesh of Atzilut. Second level souls are those that remained in Adam after his sin and were transmitted to his sons Cain and Abel, like the first level souls. They can complete immense tikkunim in one lifetime, from the Nefesh of Asiyah to the Nefesh of Atzilut. However, unlike the first level souls, they can only accomplish this with great difficulty and effort. And it was for this reason that the Rav reverted to the discussion of the Yibum at night meditation. However, second level souls have been somewhat blemished by the sins of Adam, Cain, and Abel. They can only advance from level to level with difficulty and with the assistance of the Yibum at night meditation, which is why we recommend that people say the nighttime Shema with all of the 10 levels of that ritual, of that prayer. We have now explained the advantages of the first level over the second level. The second level souls were blemished to some extent by the sins of Adam, Cain, and Abel, although not like those souls of the third level who fell into the realm of the Klipot. Therefore, they need the Yugum at night meditation in order to ascend from level to level, but their ascent can go beyond Briah to the level of Nefesh of Atzilut. In contrast, someone whose Ruach and Neshama were not previously blemished does not need the meditation in order to ascend from level to level. Someone whose Ruach and Neshama are already rectified and now completes the rectification of his Nefesh, then his Ruach and his Neshama can enter it to be clothed within the Nefesh, since they are already rectified like it. Obviously, Ruach and Neshama do not need to enter a body. If they have already been rectified, in contrast, if they are only unblemished, they will still need to come in order to complete their tikkun. Thus it is likely that the words already rectified written here should be understood as not blemished. Ruach and Neshama that are unblemished, but their tikkun has not yet been completed, will be able to enter and become ensconced within a rectified nefesh. Since they are not blemished, the rectified nefesh can become an exterior garment or a throne for them. Have you ever heard the phrase, this is my commentary, have you ever heard the phrase at a funeral or a shiva call, the good die young? This is the reason behind that phrase, as well as the comfort that it may bring to the bereaved family. As you read this section, did you ask yourself, why does someone correct their nefesh early and learn the Yibum at night meditation, and another person corrects their nefesh early and does not? If not, you are not learning to think like a Kabbalist. By the way, I have not yet learned the answer to this question, yet I keep asking it. As I've told you before, I once waited 13 years to receive an answer to a question that I asked. All questions are always answered. They're just not necessarily answered in the time frame that we want. Chapter 7, Section 6, Advantage of Level 2 Souls. We've learned about the advantage of the Level 1 soul. Now we're going to learn about the advantage of the Level 2 souls. The growth of new souls depends upon two factors, merit and the passage of specific time segments. But the growth of level 2 souls that were included in Cain and Abel is not limited by a time factor and depends only upon merit. Now we will explain the advantage of the second level over the first level. First level souls are unable to achieve Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama all at once. If his deeds are worthy, at 13 years, he merits receiving a Ruach. The next few sentences are not easy to comprehend, but the overall intention of the Rav can be clarified. The classical commentary on Gate of Reincarnations called B'nai Aron by Rabbi Shimon Agassi makes a parallel between the following teaching and what is taught in Etz Chaim, chapter 25, section 3. It is explained there that there are two different modes for the growth of Zeranpin. One depends upon the passage of specific time segments, and the other does not. In the same way, we will see that the growth of level one souls depends upon two factors. One is the merit of the deeds, and the second is the passage of specific number of years. When he is born, he receives the nefesh immediately. The metaphor is sin crouches at the door. When he is 13, he gets a ruach, which is the purpose of the bar and bat mitzvah. On the other hand, the growth of second level souls is not limited by the time factor. They can merit from nefesh to chaya at one moment, independent of age, and that is their advantage over the first level souls. Although they, the first level souls, merit by virtue of their deeds, it is only through the number of years that they can achieve growth. In other words, at birth, a person merits a nefesh, and if his deeds are worthy, at 13 years and one day, he merits a ruach. But he might have to wait, because he merited that ruach based on merit at age 5. But he has to wait till he's 13 because the ruach cannot come to a first-level soul any earlier than 13. When he reaches 20 years and there is sufficient merit, then the neshama can enter. This is the way it proceeds until everything is completed and corrected. Clearly, the growth of level one souls depend upon two factors, merit and age. Level two souls are not dependent upon age, but rather only upon actions. However, level two souls can achieve until the nefesh of Atzilut, even before the age of 13 years and one day, when these sparks were included together within Cain and Abel, they were able to merit to all of the levels mentioned. Therefore, now as well, they are able to achieve all the levels fitting for them at one moment. They are not dependent upon years, but rather upon actions, including the meditation mentioned previously. Second level souls are not dependent upon the passage of specific lengths of time segments in order to achieve growth. The reason for this is that all of the sparks of level two souls were included in Cain and Abel. At that time, had Cain and Abel not sinned, they could have grown all the way from nefesh to chaya. This potential became inherent in their sparks, even those that would be born later on. However, the new souls of level one are like those that have just been created. Their growth takes time, but once the paradigmatic pattern is established, then the passage of specific segments of time to develop is not a limitation, as the Rav has written in Etz Chaim. Know this rule. Whenever we are talking about the growth of Zeranpin, needing time, we are talking about its first emanation. From then onward to after it is emanated and set up, even though it receives new mochin every day, as at first, it doesn't need to wait for the specific time to pass. In one instance, it can be done, and not over long periods of time. There are stories in the Talmud of a Roman soldier who, observing the death of a particular sage in a particular way, did something to ease the pain of that sage. And a voice comes out from heaven and says, they have finished their correction. And the soldier jumps into the fire or whatever death mechanism is taking place for that sage. He dies at the same moment. having achieved his correction of all of the levels of all of his souls. Not because of time, but because of the merit of his action. Therefore, new souls of level 1 are dependent upon specific time segments. Level 2 souls have already had the paradigmatic pattern set up. They do not need to wait. I'm reading this again, I apologize. It appears that it is dependent upon the person's action and not his age. Knowing this, we can now account for two different statements that seem to differ regarding the same issue. At the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim, the Zohar says, come and see. When a person is born, they give him a nefesh. If he merits more, they'll give him a ruach, etc. It appears that it is dependent upon the person's actions and not his age. This is referring to second level souls that were included in Cain and Abel and which are called new in some respects, as we've called them almost new souls. In Saba of Mishpatim, the Zohar says, it seems that it is dependent upon one's age, as it says. When he reaches 13 years, it is said about him. Today I have given birth to you, a psalm. Then they give him a ruach. When he reaches his 20th year, they give him a neshama. Regarding this, it says, a son I was to my father. This refers to level 1 souls, which are completely new souls and were never included in the soul of Adam. As I mentioned previously, time is relating to mercy, while deeds relate to judgment. Chesed and Din, Chesed and Gevurah. Remember the Midrash that says the world was created on judgment? And only after the Creator saw that the world could not exist on judgment alone, he injected mercy, which is time. Here it is second-level souls that exist without mercy. Thus it appears that the human being is also created upside down. This is an item that needs to be contemplated. Our hour is up. Does anyone have any questions? Next week, Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., we will start on Chapter 8. Thursday at 10 p.m., we will have a Zohar class. Motzi Shabbat, Saturday evening at 10 p.m., we will have a Zohar class. 10:30 a.m., Sunday morning, we are having the continuation of our preparation for Rosh Hashanah and the Tishrei holidays. We are actually going to start to delve into the holidays this coming Sunday. Monday, 5 a.m., we will have a Sefer Yetzirah class. 5:30 p.m., we will have the second lesson of the basic class in the calendar. And at 8:30, we continue our Esther Sefirot series. Next Tuesday at 8:30, we will continue, as I said, the Advanced Reincarnation series. Are there any questions? There are Zohar classes every afternoon. The time has been changed from 3 p.m. West Coast time. There are now two classes, one at 12, one at noon, and one at 3. Although they're inconsistent as to the start times and they're inconsistent as to which days of the week due to my schedule, which is flexible. So I need to send people a text to let them know when these Zohar classes will start. If you're interested, let me know so I can add your phone number to my text system. Any questions before I wish you all shalom? Have a beautiful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Shalom.